Today, as we celebrate the Day of Reformation, we celebrate the time in which Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg in order to institute some change, and some needed change. Our text for today, coming from our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34, that last verse especially, "And I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." In one essence, this was the concept of the Reformation, the one thing you could say that Martin Luther had in the back of his mind that he wanted to accomplish, that Christians are driven to our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It sounds simple enough. It sounds really, really easy. But deep down inside of us, it is very challenging. And the reason why it's challenging is because of our sinful human nature, that sinful nature that sits there and says, "I don't want to owe anyone. I want to do things my way. I don't want to ask for help of anyone." This may sound kind of strange, but it's even true in psychological terms. In psychology, we call this an attachment disorder. The avoidant adult seems emotionally distant and is very uncomfortable with asking for help, even when the person loves them and is offering the help. That avoidant adult sits there and says, "I don't want to owe anyone." And that sinful nature is within all of us. And so today, as we look at this text, I'm sort of entitling this message, "Attachment Disorders, Dealing with Our Spiritual Attachment Disorder." Because deep down inside of us, our sinful human nature says no to God's grace. I'd rather do it myself. Fortunately for us, for those who have been baptized in His name, we have the Holy Spirit who intercedes, who directs us and encourages us and reminds us that, yes, God is a loving and caring God. So when needs for our comfort and closeness and security are not adequately met, the adult sometimes pushes away from whatever system it's getting its love and attention from, no matter how much the person loves. This may sound, again, strange, but let's go into our text. Verse 31 of our Jeremiah, of chapter 31, we find out that God promises a new covenant, a new relationship. Verse 32 names the reason why is because previously, when God had fulfilled His relationship, His closeness, provided security, when He delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, they still broke that relationship. They still left that relationship. Again, we may be asking ourselves, why? It's that sinful human nature coming in. It is that spiritual attachment disorder, so to speak, that pushes away from a loving, caring God. Unfortunately, the answer is yes. But God, not to be undone by our pushing away, says in verse 33, "I'm going to establish a new covenant, a different type of covenant, a covenant I'm even going to write in their hearts, a new relationship." And as verse 34 implies, "They will now all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." And then that final line, "And I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." This sets the stage for us even living in today's time, reminding us that, yes, we have pushed away from God. Our own sin and sinfulness pushes away from God on a daily basis. We also are emotionally distant from that loving, caring, nurturing God. And if it was left up to ourselves, we can't even ask for help. Yes, we are spiritually attachment disordered type people. God, however, still loves us. That new covenant is still intact. Even though we're pushing away from the one who loves us most, because of our sin, it doesn't deter God from loving us. The reason why is we have to go no further than to look at the cross. When we see Jesus' death on the cross, and the forgiveness of our sins. That forgiveness of sins takes place because, as He says in Jeremiah, will remember their sins no more. Let's go into unpacking that word, remembering. I usually like to teach it as the opposite of dismemberment. Dismemberment meaning to remove, remembering meaning to attach. Typically, we always think of remembering as a mind type of thing, and what we're doing is we're recalling an event into our mind, reattaching it to our conscience. But getting back to now the concept of sin, what happens is when Jesus dies on the cross, God had dismembered all our sins that would cause wrath upon us and remembered them or reattached them to Jesus the Christ. So when Jesus dies on the cross, he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to appease God the Father's wrath so that God doesn't look at us in wrath, but looks at us in a very loving, caring, and nurturing way. Jesus speaks about this, or you get an inkling of this, when he's on the cross. As one of the words on the cross, he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus is bearing the weight of God's wrath because of our sin. In one essence, God the Father pushes away his own Son because he is bearing our sinfulness. Jesus' death and now his resurrection, showing that yes, God the Father accepts that sacrifice. And God's wrath is now appeased. Hence, now we have that new covenant, that new relationship. That relationship, as Jeremiah says, is now written in our hearts. And when was that relationship written in our hearts? We have to look no further than the baptismal font. When we are brought to that baptismal font and water placed upon us with God's holy word in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God works that faith, that Holy Spirit within us. So within our hearts, so to speak, we now have the Holy Spirit who is there encouraging us and guiding us because our own sinful nature would rather push away from God. So from our spiritual heart's point of view, if I can describe it that way, there's a war going on. The sinful human nature dealing with its spiritual attachment disorder, pushing away from the loving God who says, "Let me just love you and forgive you, encourage you and nurture you. And bring me to be with you in heaven above." What silly human beings we are to push away from someone who loves us. But we don't have to go too far even in our own lives to find out, yes, there have been times in our own lives, some physical relationships we have pushed away from because of our sinful human nature. So God, knowing that, says, "Okay, I'm going to give you another physical relationship that I want to continue to draw you into." Because too often when we think about God and we think about our faith, we very often think about God being up there in heaven above. Not someone who we can shake hands with after the worship service with or call up in the time of need, even though we can call upon God in prayer. It's a little different. God, knowing our need, says, "That's okay, I will establish this new relationship, this new covenant in another way. A way that you can physically be connected to." What am I referring to? Nothing more than what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. He says this, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Embedded in these two lines of Scripture is that beautiful connection that we have when we celebrate the communion. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we commune at the Lord's table, and what are we taking? We're taking bread and wine, and not just the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. Notice Paul names four things present: the cup, the bread, the blood, the bread, the body. And if I can just add from Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I usually like to talk about five things being present in the Lord's Supper: body, bread, blood, wine, forgiveness of sins. Because God uses this again to touch our lives, to be connected to us, to encourage our faith, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins, to be there for us. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we're not just doing this for some sort of ritual. We're doing this for us, for our spiritual growth. We're doing this to be connected to the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Paul names this concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What's being unpacked here is that Paul is reminding us that, yes, we're doing this in remembrance of him. We are reattaching that cross event in which he dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins to us every time we partake of the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine. We are reattaching that forgiveness of sins to us. Why? Because we need it, because our lives are based on pushing away those that we love. This spiritual disorder of attachment that we have. Now there's another aspect of this attachment disorder. I just want to sort of tuck into this spiritual attachment disorder. And it's affectionately called the disorganized adult. Now, this does not mean that you have a cluttered study, like some pastor you know. But the disorganized adult, let me just name it this way, are people who are afraid of a genuine closeness in relationships. They see themselves sort of pushing away because they're unworthy of love. They're unworthy of the support that that loved one wants to bring to them. Very often the Christian falls into this trap with God and saying, "Lord, we are not worthy." Well, in one essence, you're right. Because of our sin, we are not worthy of God's grace. But because of the Jesus' death on the cross and the forgiveness of our sins, God now invites us to come to the Lord's table and say, "Partake, live in this relationship." Again, our spiritual attachment disorder pushes us away. And if I can just sort of paraphrase Martin Luther's explanation of the Christian questions with their answers, and you can find it on page 307 in the front part of your hymnal. Question 20 deals with this topic. What happens if a person feels that they are sort of unworthy or they shouldn't go to the Lord's table because how could God possibly love them? Let me just paraphrase Luther's response. To such a person, Luther would say, first of all, take your hand, place it to your heart. Is your heart still beating? Is there still blood flowing through your veins? Are you alive? If you are alive and your blood is still going, realize that, yes, you have a sinful human nature. Our human nature says, I want to push against someone who loves me. The second part, take a look. Are you still in the world around? A world that is filled with sin, and there is trouble of all kinds. We don't have to look too far in the newspapers or on the internet in the news categories to find sin and trouble of all kinds. And thirdly, we have to realize that the devil himself is out there trying to get Christians to trip and fall, to sin, to fall away from God. And for those three reasons, Luther is saying, that's why you need to come. Don't let the devil try to play mind games with you that you are unworthy. Through the blood of Christ, you are now part of his kingdom. Through the blood of Christ, you now belong to him. When someone's playing mind games with you and saying you're unworthy, that's the devil trying to trip you with your spiritual attachment disorder and trying to get you to push away from the one God who loves and cherishes you, who offers up his own body and blood to strengthen you and to grow this relationship with you. Yes, we are made worthy through the death of Jesus the Christ. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It is through that death and resurrection we have life. It is through that death and resurrection we are loved. It is through that death and resurrection we have hope. Don't push away from this. You see, the covenant renewal, as Jeremiah talks about in our Old Testament reading, is very important. Because in the past, we saw the people of Israel pushing away from God, a God who loved them, a God who takes care of them, a God who delivered them, just like we push away from people who love us and want to be attached to us because of our sin and our sinfulness. We push away. That's why we need a God to continue to renew, continue to strengthen. It's not enough that we just offer the Lord's Supper every once in a while. This is one of the reasons why we offer it at every service. Because we need that time of renewal. We need to remind ourselves that, yes, God does love us. He does care for us. He has established a new relationship with us. Because, yes, we have broken God's relationship in the past. So we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us with His Holy Spirit, to continue to nurture us, and to help us to remind us that, yes, it's okay to have a God who loves us. And also to help us in our relationship with other people. Because the more we understand how God loves and nurtures us, it helps us in our relationship with other people. So if we're struggling with attachment disorder of the spiritual or the physical kind, we come back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon me. Continue to strengthen me. Help me to overcome. Help me to put down this sinful nature. Grow me so that I follow you and your love. And when I withdraw, Lord, pick me up again and lead me down the correct path. As Jeremiah closes this section of our Old Testament text, showing us God's love in action, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.